to show that we have.
Avram Avinu descends from Charan to Eretz Canaan to Eretz Israel. He brings with him Vesanefesh Asher Asu B'Charan, the souls that he made in Charan. Rashi calls him the Medrash. Who was this? This was the Gerim that he was Megayer, the converts that he converted, his followers, his adherents. Avram Avinu was a Kirov professional of the highest order. He had hordes and legions of followers, and they traveled with him to Eretz Israel. But later on in the parasha, when a dispute erupts between the shepherds of Lot and the shepherds of Avram Avinu, what is Avram Avinu's reaction? He says to Lot, "He pared no me olai. Please separate from me. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. And if you go to the right, I'll go to the left. We simply cannot remain together." He dismisses Lot entirely. And asks of Yosef Salant in the Sefer Be'er Yosef, that how could it be that the same Avram Avinu, who was able to be Makarev legions and hordes of followers, who traveled with him to Eretz Israel, was not able to be Makarev, to influence, to affect his own nephew, Lot, to the degree that he dismisses him entirely? Why couldn't he be Makarev Lot as well? Why couldn't he influence and inspire him too? And Rabbi Yosef Salant explains that it's because in order to influence and inspire others to be Makarev them, one needs to be able to find common ground, to find similarities, to blend in. Only if he's able to present himself as if they're in the same boat, we're in the same situation, you and I, can I inspire you to lead a better life. But Lot spent time in the home of Avram Avinu. He knew him intimately and personally. He saw the true greatness of Avram Avinu, and he understood how fundamentally different they were. And there was no way then for Avram Avinu to inspire and to influence him, because Lot knew they were entirely different individuals. And Avram Avinu therefore has no choice but to ask Lot to leave. Because Avram Avinu understood that to be Makari of others, one needs to blend in. One needs to find common ground. That's why Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky writes in a Sefer Emes LeYaakov that performing Bris Milah was a nisoyon for Avram Avinu, because it was going to make him physically different than those that he was trying to be Makariv, which would only make his job of inspiring them and influencing them that much more difficult, because they'd be different. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Kiddushin that Avram Avinu was Mekaymes Kol HaTorah Kula Ad Shelo Nitna. He volunteered to do the mitzvahs even before he was commanded, but yet he never volunteers to do milah. Why not? Says Rabbi Yaakov, because he knew it would make it difficult, it would hinder his ability to connect with people, because he'd be physically different from them. And even when HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands Avram Avinu to perform the Bris Milah, the Medrash Tanchuma tells us that he consulted with his three chaverim, with Oner, with Eshkol, and with Mamre. Together they constituted the Kiryas Arba, the town of four. He consulted with them before he performed the Bris Milah. Says Rabbi Yaakov, not because he had any doubt about whether he would fill the Tzivoy Hashem, but he wanted to know what their reaction would be. Would he still be able to connect with them and connect with others, to be Makari of them, to influence them? And Aner and Eshkol told him, no, you won't be. They discouraged him. Mamre supported him. He encouraged him, and that's why at the beginning of Parshas Vayera, Avram Avinu was recovering from his milah be'leinei Mamre, in the house of Mamre, because Mamre supported him. So Avraham Avinu understood, and that's why he was hesitant at first about performing Bris Milah. He understood that in order to be Makariot people, to influence them, to inspire them, one needs to find common ground, one needs to find similarities, one needs to blend in. However, later on in the parasha, Avraham Avinu is described in an entirely different way. The pasuk states, "Vayavai hapalit vayagei laAvraham al-Ivri." Oi comes and he informs Avraham Avinu that Lot has been taken captive, and he needs to be rescued. And here the pasuk describes Avraham Avinu as Avraham ha-Ivri, Avraham the Hebrew. And Rashi quotes in the Medrash, why is he described as Avraham ha-Ivri? Not only because he was Jewish, but says Rashi in the name of the Medrash, because kol ha-olam kuloi me'ever echad, v'hu me'ever acher. The whole world was on one side and Avraham Avinu was on the other. Literally, because Avraham Avinu was about to embark on a war all by himself, him and Eliezer, against some of the most powerful armies of the time. But also figuratively, Avraham had his own set of philosophies, his own set of beliefs, his own set of principles, of morals, and of values, and it was an against, ran counter to the entire world at that time. Rabban writes on Parashas Vayeshev that every time the Chumash describes someone as ha-Ivri, it refers to someone who's going against the entire atmosphere, the entire environment, the prevailing culture that he finds himself in. How is the Jewish slave described in Parashas Mishpatim? Chumash describes him as an Eved Ivri, not an Eved Yisraeli. And Avnezer explains, because the Eved Ivri also needs to understand this, that even though the culture in the house of the master of the Adon is that one has to follow orders, he has to follow instructions, he also needs to know that if he's commanded by the Adon to violate one of the mitzvahs of the Torah, he's not allowed to listen. He has to go against the culture and the environment and the atmosphere that he finds himself in. Similarly, in Parsha Shmois, how are Shifra and Puah, the Jewish midwives, how are they described? They're the Miyaldois, Ha-Ivriois, the Jewish, the Hebrew midwives. Says Avnei Nezer, why are they described in this way? Because even though Paroi was Geyser, Paroi decreed that all the Jewish babies should be thrown, the Jewish male babies should be thrown into the river and killed, they went against that atmosphere, against that that environment, and they didn't listen to the decree of Paroi. And this is represented by Avraham ha-Ivri, that kol ha-olam kulo me'ever echad, the whole world was on one side, and Avraham Avinu went against the prevailing culture, against the atmosphere and the environment of the time, v'hu me'ever acher, and he was on the other side. And this ability for a person to stand up for their principles, for their morals and for their values, even though he's all by himself, he's all alone, is something that every Yid needs to cultivate and needs to develop, this internal fortitude. The Megillas Esther describes Mordechai as an Ish Yehudi Haya B'Shushan Habira. There was a Jewish man who lived in Shushan. And the Medrash comments, Al Tikri Yehudi El Yechidi. I read that he was Jewish, but he was an individual. He was alone. Because the Gemara tells us in Maseches Megillah that all the other Talmidei Chachamim at the time disagreed with Mordechai. They said, why can't he bow down like everyone else? He's instigating hatred against Klal Yisrael. But Mordechai stood up for his principles, for his morals, for his values, for that which he thought it was right, his beliefs, even though he was all alone. Similarly, in Parshas Yisrael, Yisrael is described, the Pasuk states, Vayichad Yisrael, Yisrael rejoiced, about all of the nisim HaKadosh Baruch Hu performed for Klal Yisrael. And the Medrash comments, Al Tikri Vayichad, don't read it that he rejoiced, but Vayahad, that he converted. Why? Because Yisrael also went against. He was also a little bit of Yachid. He was in Midyan. He was a priest for another religion. He rejected that atmosphere, that environment. He stood up for his principles, for what he believed in, for his morals and for his values. But why are these two words interchangeable? Vayahad, Yehudi, and Yechidi. And explains the Kotzker that it's because every Yehudi needs to understand that sometimes he needs to be a Yechidi. He needs to go it alone. He has to do what he believes is correct, even though the whole world, the whole atmosphere, the environment that surrounds him disagrees with him. Ko ha'olam kulo me'ever echad v'hu me'ever acher. And when it comes to one's principles, to one's beliefs, to his morals, to his values, there's no room for compromise. The Gemara tells us in Masechta Sanhedrin that even though there's a mitzvah l'vtzaya, there's a mitzvah in the entire to compromise, the Gemara condemns the compromise that was brokered by Yehuda. What compromise was brokered by Yehuda? The Meshech Chachma explains that in Parshas Miketz, when the Shvatim were together deciding the fate of Yosef, there was a stalemate. And Yehuda was the swing vote. There were four of the Bnei Leah who were there. Reuben wasn't there. Wasn't present. And they thought that Yosef was a Reidev, and he was Chayiv Nisa. But there were four of the Bnei Hashvot who were there. They liked Yosef. And they thought Yosef was not a Reidev. He was innocent. He should be returned to his father, B'Shalom. And Yehuda was the swing vote. He had to decide what to do. And he made a compromise. Ma betza, what do we gain? But betza milashon bitzua, from a language of compromise. Kinareges achina v'chisinu estamay. What do we gain by killing our brother and covering blood? Nimkarenu la'yishma'elim, let's sell him to the Yishma'elim. He made a compromise. We won't kill him. We'll sell him to the Yishma'elim. And the Gemara says, Sech the Sanhedrin, whoever approves of this compromise is guilty of blasphemy. It's minoyitz. Why is this blasphemous? It's a mitzvah of tzaya. Rav Nevinsohn explains in the Sefer on Chumash that it's because it's a mitzvah to compromise in human relations. People have a disagreement. But when it's a matter of principle, a matter of halacha, of morals, of values, of right and wrong, there's no room for compromise in that setting. A person has to be Avram HaIvri, he has to be Kol HaOlam Kulo Me'ever Echad V'hu Me'ever Acher. He has to stand up for what he believes in and not be willing to compromise on his morals and on his values. But Esr Shach, then how was Avram Avinu able to be Makari of others? If he was Avram HaIvri, he was a loner. He was Yechidi, he was all by himself in his beliefs. His morals and his values were against the entire culture of the time. How was he able to find common ground? How was he able to blend in and to be Makari of others? And Rav Shach explains that because while it's important to find common ground, it's important to blend in, to find similarities, to build relationships. One of the most effective strategies in Kiruv is for a person to be proud of who he is. He has to stand up for what he believes in, to be unwilling to compromise on his morals and his values. That's the only way a person earns the respect of others. And that's the most effective tool in Kiruv as well. The Pasuk tells us in Sefer Malachi, Ki Teras Hashem, Teras Emes, Haisa Befiu, the Torah of truth was in his mouth, V'rabim Heshiv Me'ovon, and he returned many people from the brink of Avera. So the Medrash comments, who is this? This was Aaron HaKoyen. Ki Teras Emes, Haisa Befiu, the Torah of truth was always in his mouth, he was unwilling to compromise on his morals, on his values, on halacha. V'rabim Heshiv Me'ovon, and therefore he earned the respect of others. He was proud of who he was and what he stood for. He was able to return people from the brink of Avera. All too often we make the mistake of thinking that in order to be successful in influencing and inspiring others, to be successful in Kiruv, we have to make halachic concessions. We have to make compromises to meet people halfway, not to expect too much. And the ends justify the means, that's what people tell themselves. But this is a mistake. The way to be successful in Kiruv is, yes, to build relationships, but also to understand that if you want to earn the respect of others, a person has to be proud of who he is and what he stands for, to be stand up for his principles and to be uncompromising in halacha, uncompromising in his morals and his values. So in fact, we need both to be successful in inspiring others. The Pasuk states at the beginning of the parasha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands Avram Avinu to go down to Eretz Yisrael, and he tells him, Leich Lecha, you should go to Eretz Yisrael. And Rashi quotes in the name of the Medrash, Leich Lecha, you should go, Lecha, Lahana Osra, it'll be for your benefit. Don't think that your profile will be diminished by going down to Eretz Yisrael, it'll only be enhanced. It'll only be increased. But the Rebbe of Zisha teaches in the Pasuk that no, Leich, you should go, go out! Build relationships with others. Find common ground. Blend in. But lecha. If you want to inspire others, always remain true to yourself. Be proud of who you are. Stand up for what you believe in. for your principles, be uncompromising in your morals and your values. We need to find this balance, but we need to find this balance not only in order to be successful in inspiring others in Kiruv. This really defines a very interaction with society and with the world around us. Pasuk tells us in Parashas Vayishlach that when Yaakov arrives in the town of Shechem, Vayichanes Pnei Ha'ir, he settles on the face of the city. And the Gemara tells us in Masechtas Shabbos, what does it mean? Vayichanes Pnei Ha'ir, Tikein Lahem Shvakin, Tikein Lahem Matbeos. He established for them a marketplace, he established for them a currency. He participated in the economy. However, the Medrash comments, Vayichanes Pnei Ha'ir, he settled on the face of the city, not in the city, but outside the city. Says the Medrash, Kavo Le'atzmai Tchum Shabbos. It was Kaveya, the boundaries of Shabbos. Which is it? Did he participate in the economy? Was he Kaveya Tchum Shabbos? And the Netziv writes in his Hemek Dover that in fact, these two explanations, these two Perushim, are complementary. If a person wants to be involved in the society around him, in the economy, he better know how to draw boundaries. He better know how to be Kaveya Tchum Shabbos, to not allow his principles, his values to be corrupted and to be defined by the society, by the atmosphere and the culture that's around him. But finding this balance of being involved in the economy, but at the same time in the society, but at the same time knowing how to draw boundaries is a very difficult balance indeed. In fact, it could be that this was the crowning achievement, the greatest nisayon of Avraham Avinu. The Mishnah tells us in Masechtas Avos that Avraham Avinu was presented with 10 nisyonos. And according to the Bar Tanura, the final and the greatest of all of the nisyonos was the Akedas Yitzchak. However, Rabbeinu Yonah writes in his Parasha Masechtas Avos that the final and the greatest of all of the nisyonos was not the Akedas Yitzchak. It was the purchasing of the Maris HaMachpelah from the Bnei Ches at the beginning of Parshas Chayesar, after the death of Sarah Imenu. How was that the greatest nisyon? This was the crowning achievement. The pinnacle of Avraham Avinu's spiritual career was purchasing a burial plot from the Bnei Ches. And I believe that the explanation is yes. Because when Avraham Avinu was involved in those negotiations, he tells them, Ger v'toyshev anoichi imochem. We're doing business together. I'm a toyshev, he's a resident, but he's also a ger. He says, I'm a stranger amongst you. I don't really belong here. My values and my beliefs will not be influenced by you. And this is something, Rabbi said, we always need chizuk about. Yaakov Avinu, when he comes to meet Esav in Parshas Vayishlach, he tells him, Im Lavan garati v'aychar adota, I've lived with Lavan until now. Rashi calls him the Medrash, Im Lavan garati, but v'eskayad mitzvah shamarti, I lived with Lavan, but garati is begamatria, tayag, v'eskayad mitzvah shamarti. Esav holbi nesef yirei chumash, but Esav cares. Yaakov is bragging. In love and garti, but as tired mitzvah shamarti, I kept the tired mitzvah. So Esav is impressed by this. And it says of Bobby also, Esav is a lamdin. He's doing gematrius. What is he? He spelled a pat on the back, ishkayach, gishmak of art. Strange. Explains of Bobby, Yaakov wasn't talking to Esav. He was talking to himself. In love and garti, but that's not me, he said. As tired mitzvah shamarti, we need chizuk about this. That yes, he was there. Yes, he lived in the house of Lavan, but that's not who he was. And he was machazik himself about this. We need chizuk in this. Yes, we might participate in society and the world around us, but that's not who we are. It doesn't define our values, our principles, and our beliefs. And in order to be successful in finding this challenging and critical balance, to know when to compromise, when not to compromise, when to draw boundaries, when to participate, a person needs direction, he needs guidance, he needs a Rebbe. What happened to all of those legions and hordes of followers, the Es HaNefesh Asher Asu B'charan, that Avraham Avinu went down to Eretz Yisrael with them? Where are they? How can we never hear about them throughout the rest of Sefer Bereishis, throughout Tanakh? Where are they? Says Alexander Rebbe, they were lost. You know why? Because when Avraham Avinu passed away, he was such a unique individual, he was such an electric personality, they thought he was irreplaceable. And therefore they didn't have Rebbe. They had no guidance. They had no direction, no identity. And without guidance and without direction, a person could quickly become lost. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, Ha'oitza kedivrei beis Hillel oisa. You want to do like beis Hillel, that's fine. It's a legitimate shita. Ha'oitza kedivrei beis Shammai oisa. That's also a legitimate position. What if a person picks the kulos of Beis Shammai and the kulos of Beis Hillel? He shops around for leniency, so the Gemara says, Nikra Rasha. He's a Rasha. What if he does the opposite? He picks the chumras of Beis Shammai. And the chumras of Beis Hillel, says the Gemara, Olav HaKasavayimer, about him the Pasuk says in Koheles, V'haksiyo b'choshech yeholech, that the fool walks in darkness. Just like a fool in darkness doesn't know where the door is, so he thinks the wall is a door, and the cup is a sefer, and a sefer is a cup. So too, a person who picks chumras has no direction, he has no guidance. He's like a fool who's walking in darkness. He grabs at this chumrah, and that chumrah, and this one, and that one. The guy looks like a hodgepodge. We see these people. Where did he come from? How did he get like this? He has no identity, he has no guidance, he has no direction. And just like the fool who's walking in darkness, such a person without guidance, without direction, can quickly become lost. And therefore, we need guidance, we need direction, we need chizuk into how to find this critical yet very difficult balance. About how to know when to be late, when to be go out, to be involved, to build relationships, to blend in for a person, to make his contribution to his environment, to the society around him. But we also need to know when to emphasize lecha, when to draw boundaries, when a person should be proud of who he is, to stand up for his principles, for his morals, for his values, and even though kol ha'olam kulo me'ever echad v'hu me'ever acher, even though the whole world might even be against him. Shkoyach.